Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why UnitedHealthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
We're back on the road this April with our live show, Cocaine Cowboys. If you want to hear the story of Ireland's love affair with Colombian powder and those who made millions in the gold rush, join us in Galway's Town Hall Theatre on Saturday, 6th of April, Killarney's INEC on Saturday, the 13th of April, and in Belfast's Waterfront Studios on Saturday, the 27th of April. Tickets from venues or at mcd.ie.
Their biggest concern was, like, did you do anything to my children? Did anything happen? And now Cook said, you know, absolutely not. You know, she said, that's not me, that's my sister. When the father in that case went to the Gardaí, they had very little interest in taking the case. He had to kind of pester them almost. It's beyond time maybe for a kind of some sort of task force, whether it's HSE, TUSLA and the Gardaí, to come and go, look, let's track her down and let's see what help we can give her and stop her lying and, you know, creating further frauds.
I'm Nicola Tallant and you're listening to Crime World, a podcast about criminals, drugs and the sins of the underworld in Ireland and across the globe. A serial fraudster was employed by a family in Kildare as a live-in au pair after being outed on a hit podcast and in a series of newspaper articles as a con woman. Samantha Cook managed to reinvent herself as childcare worker Sadie Harris and lived for 6 months with the family while her real identity faced the eye of a publicity storm about a series of cons across Ireland. Today, I'm talking to journalist Mark Thigh of the Sunday Independent about the extraordinary story of a woman who keeps changing her name, her look and her background and who has currently gone dark somewhere in the country. He tells me about her latest scam, which terrified a young mother returning to work, and about her colourful background as an artist, as a writer, and even as a psychotherapist. This is Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. Mark, I was just saying to you, I did actually listen to this podcast that was made about Samantha Cooks, and I got through a certain amount of it and I think I got distracted and went on to another one. But what I found about it was, so she's a fraudster, obviously. She's obviously doing things that if you were subject to it, if you left your children in her care, you'd be terrified, etc. But they're all sort of small and can we see a motive in them? She's not trying to make big money. She's, what is she doing?
Yeah, I suppose Samantha Cooks first came on the public radar in 2011 when she, in England, when she took £1,200 off a couple who were trying to conceive and she said she'd be their surrogate mother and didn't follow through in it and she got convicted for fraud in what she did there. And she spoke about her own trauma in having a child and a traumatic experience. Didn't really go into too much detail. So everything...
She alluded to that.
Yeah. Everything since then has being child-centered, you know, in terms of her, she then came onto the Irish radar, I suppose, in 2022 when she was a sickfluencer. You know, she was had this profile on TikTok and on Instagram of being this up-and-coming writer, Carrie Jade Williams, based in Kenmare, had won lots of awards in Ireland for, you know, an up-and-coming writer. She'd been on various kind of scholarships and.
How do you do that? Start without coming out of college or without having a background in writing and stuff?
She's a talented writer.
Right.
And I suppose what she was doing was writing about having a degenerative terminal illness, which people said, oh my God, this woman is so brave. But this was absolute bull.
Right.
She didn't have Huntington's disease. She didn't teach herself to walk and talk again, which is really impossible when you've got something like that. There is no known cure, unfortunately, to Huntington's. You can't teach yourself. You know, she was saying, I can't even remember 24 hours ago, but yet she was saying she was writing a script for Netflix, or she was writing this short story collection. She's a residence, a writer in residence in a theater in Listowel. So, you know, the things didn't compute.
So in her fantasy world, there's an ego there. She is a very special, talented person in that fantasy world she exists in.
Yeah. And she, like, as I say, she won awards. Like, she won a Financial Times Bodley Head essay writing prize for writing about how, you know, with assisted technologies. She, again, she'd apply for everything. So she applied to the Alzheimer's Society in the UK for a grant to develop technology to help people with this disease. To use assisted writing, and she got over €10,000 for that. You know, one of the biggest charities in the UK obviously didn't do their due diligence. But back to the theme about children, when she was moving around Ireland under these different personas, at least six or seven different names, there was always a child focus on it. In around Glenageary, North Wicklow, she was focusing on women who had maybe disadvantaged kids, autistic kids, saying she had experience looking after them. She talked about arranging a trip to Lapland for kids with special needs. So she was taking money off those, like small money, hundreds of euro. Maybe it would have grown to more if she hadn't been caught out. In Cork, in 2019, we know she has conviction for fraud again, for taking some €800 off a gentleman for doing a psychological assessment of his child, a special needs child, when she wasn't qualified. She's not a psychotherapist. So she was taking money off vulnerable people, but all focus around children. And maybe where there's a little bit different was when Ken Mayer, this new persona, when she became this kind of celebrated sickfluencer, Kerry Jade Williams, and a writer that wasn't so much a children focus on that, although she would talk to people about, you know, being engaged and wanting children again. But until we found her just a couple of weeks ago with the Sunday Independent, again, she was back on that child beat where she'd suddenly become an au pair. And this is the new persona, Sadie Harris, that we uncovered, that she's back on this, being a child carer. And
she's a kind of a heroic individual in all her personas. Like, she's the person who can make autistic, non-verbal autistic children speak within a couple of weeks, an impossibility. You know, she's this very ill person who's able to translate and connect with people about her own illnesses, all these sort of things where she's kind of this fantastic person in the middle of a lot of trauma and upset. The amounts of money, funny enough, when you're mentioning that, 800, 600, 300, they're nothing. But how many did she get away with? Sometimes people who are fraudsters are very cleverly, constantly chipping away at small amounts of money that people wouldn't necessarily report to the police if they've been defrauded about a small out of a small amount. If it was a bigger amount, they might have. But we go back to where this all started, and really she first became sort of was exposed. And that was when she claimed to be an Airbnb host. Mm-hmm. And that a couple had stayed in her premises and had afterwards given out because she was a disabled person and they were supposedly suing her.
Yeah, so this is a story that was picked up by Newstalk in Ireland. The Independent in the UK picked up on it and ran a couple of stories saying that this woman, Kerry Jade Williams, had gone on and made a video on TikTok and on Instagram saying she was being sued because she was disabled. A disabled host on Airbnb. So it had a.
And where was she at this point, and when was that?
In Kenmare.
That was in Kenmare.
Summer of 2022.
Yeah.
And so this was kind of the beginning of her undoing, because the story was incredible, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, some established media bought it. Like, she had been on Radio Kerry talking about her writing. She had been on News Talk talking about her Huntington's disease prior to this. So she had a little bit of profile, you know, as Kerry Jade Williams, this up and coming writer. But then this story about the I think there were French tourists who had stayed in her apartment and were afraid, they didn't realize she was disabled and they were afraid they might catch something from her and they were trying to take her to court, sue her for tens of thousands of euro. It's a fantastical story and was picked up, you know, the Airbnb angle. It was picked up by a lot of people and a lot of people online were going, hang on, this does not make sense. And the crowd
kind of claimed Airbnb backed the couple and told her to give them the money back.
Yeah, so like that. And when people, when journalists did try and fact check it, Airbnb were going, well, this is, there's no such case, you know, we're not seeing anything like this, you know. They wouldn't comment on the record, but they were letting it not be known to people that this wasn't adding up. So some of those stories, I think, disappeared off the News Talk website since. But the Reddit users kind of pieced this together, did a bit of searching, found a 2011 Daily Mail and BBC reports on her surrogacy fraud back in the UK, and goes, hang on, this is obviously a much younger woman, Samantha Cooks, but it isn't Samantha Cooks, Carrie Jade Williams. And when that was put online, you know, we had media from, you know, including us in the Irish Independent, Sunday Independent, and, you know, we had Vice News globally looking into her, coming to Kerry to track her down. She did a runner. She scarpered from County Kerry, and we hadn't seen sight nor sound of her since. I did a story a couple of weeks ago. She, on her way out the door from Kerry, she filed a residential tenancies board complaint against her landlord, saying she'd been wrongly evicted. And, you know, Tim Hurrigan, her landlord, was incredibly frustrated having to go through that whole process, going, hang on, this woman's a fraudster. You know, look at all the media reports. But despite that, the RTB, the wheels turned slowly. They went through, they evaluated her complaint. Her complaint actually found that his eviction notice had been wrongly served, but found that she hadn't been wrongfully thrown out because she hadn't paid rent in 3 months, and that she'd left a complete mess in the apartment. Furniture was missing. You know, in off state, he had to spend thousands doing.
Was she house sharing at that point?
No,
it was her own. How was she affording it up until then?
Well, that's it. Like, and Tim Hurrigan didn't know that she was using Airbnb to supplement her income, which is a breach of tenancy rules. So she was getting, I don't know, a little bit of money from some of her writing, I think. She was claiming she was working as a health and safety consultant. It's hard to know exactly.
So probably gathering those small bits we're talking about, and they add up.
And a bit of money, I think, from social welfare as well. There was evidence left behind of various forms for the HSE, claiming disability allowance and so on. So yeah, small amounts. Like she left these business plans, which were quite fantastical, though, where she talked about putting millions of euro into various schemes. Like, she had the money coming in from the Alzheimer's Society as well for her voice system that she was supposed to be developing a software. So she talked about having coding experience as well. So, you know, if you believed her, she's this multi-talented, phenomenal woman, you know, that was celebrated.
And that's the thing about those fraudsters. Everybody that comes into contact with them will say that they are so believable that they almost kind of leave behind their normal senses when they're meeting somebody new, that they might check them out, or that they might, in the case of people, and your most recent story, the couple who left their children with her, you know, she was so believable, so warm, so incredibly good, that they probably didn't do the checks that maybe they might have for somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
So without those skills.
Yeah, so after that residential tenancy board story we did, I was contacted by a family in Selbridge who revealed that they'd hired her for the last 6 months. She was a live-in au pair in Selbridge, and they'd hired her in the summer of 2023 by putting an ad up on mindme.ie and saying, you know, we're looking for an au pair. The mother in the family was returning to work, so they had a 2-year-old girl and a 5-year-old boy. And Sadie Harris responds saying, you know, I'm this professional au pair. I've worked for 7 years in LA with a rich family who made me sign a non-disclosure agreement. So I can't talk about that. Now, in retrospect, clearly a red flag there. She did give a reference of a previous company she worked for, the mother, you know, with big regret in hindsight. Look, I Googled it, but I didn't search. I didn't make a phone call, unfortunately. They did a video call with Sadie Harris. She, you know, was very plausible, seemed quite expert in childcare and even the curriculum, Jolly Phonics, you know, junior infants. She collected her from Houston Station, brought her out to Selbridge, met the kids in July last year, got along brilliant. The kids instantly warmed to her, you know, and they agreed to hire her. And so she moved in. This woman moved into their house in outside Selbridge in September 2023. And for the next nearly 6 months, you know, they thought everything was going swimmingly. They thought she was like Mary Poppins. She was, you know, the kids adored her. She barely left the house. Only 2 weekends in those nearly 6 months, she was actually not there. And, you know, if there was a cake sale, she'd be baking for the little fellow. So he'd bring in something fresh the next day. She'd be doing arts and crafts, Jolly Phonics when they went home, you know, have all this work, the homework done, you know, just a brilliant kind of Mary Poppins type figure.
One that would be very hard for you to find anywhere when you know you're out and work and your kids are small.
Exactly. They thought, look, a godsend. This is someone who, you know, was happy to live and celebrate. She talked about, you know, doing a master's course in kind of childcare and working with autistic kids in Dublin. So they were buying into this story. The English accent was explained as she was someone who was born in Cork to in Bessborough and adopted to England by a woman who lived in a kibbutz in Israel. Quite a complex story. She said she'd moved back to Ireland, Sadie, to reconnect with her deaf mother in Cork and three sisters who lived in Kerry.
A sensitive story, not one to easily check as well. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's kind of like clever when you know, and in hindsight and you're hearing that story, you realise that it's not somewhere you can really probe or Google. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the non-disclosure agreement with the LA family.
Again, is a good story, really. Speaking of Google, so 2023, she's obviously out there. You've written stories about her. Is that podcast out, or is that just out?
Yeah, it came out around the end of 2023. Yeah.
Right. So, well, it wasn't out then last summer when that family hired her.
Yeah,
but
the Sue Perkins one, yes.
Yeah.
Kerry J does not exist.
Does not exist. Which I have tried, like I was saying to you, I've listened to it and I found it's not happening quick enough for me, I think. I don't know whether...
It's labored.
It's labored, yeah. Some podcasts are trying constantly to stretch to 10 episodes and you lose people a little bit along the way when it's not moving quick enough. I have a tendency to get bored very quickly. I was very interested in the story, but I just got distracted with some other podcasts and I kept meaning to go back to it. But what I was going to say to you was that family that hired her in 2023, you know, it'd be easy to say, why didn't they Google her? But of course, she's coming with a different identity. And unless they know those previous identities and her real identity, Samantha Cooks, they are Googling somebody that doesn't exist.
Yes.
But at the same time, that's my next question, because for me, and maybe I'm very cynical, but when I can't find anybody anywhere on the internet, on social media or anything, it's a big red flag.
Yeah, definitely. Look, if you're in that, if you're ever hiring someone like a home help, whatever, you know, and obviously childcare costs in Ireland are prohibitive. We all know that. So you can understand, you know, when you put an ad out there and someone comes and seems plausible and talks to talk and, you know, you meet them and they are genuine, you think, you know, this is a godsend, literally, but you need to do a bit more research, I suppose. In hindsight, this woman would, the family would have fully accept that, you know, but yeah, that would be one of the...
And funny enough, I fully accept that these fraudsters are so good at what they do, and it's the reason that they're able to sort of blend into communities to carry out, you know, to fool so many people. And I think people feel really damaged when they've been lied to. You know, it's actually, I think when you look at some of the crimes she committed, and of course in Ireland, she seems to have possibly committed crimes yet hasn't been properly investigated. I think the Gardaí haven't come out of this in glowing colours. There's a kind of, you know, she's moving around the country. There's different forces being reported, different things, but nothing comes together really on it, does it?
Like her former landlord would be very frustrated at the, you know, that how slow the Gardaí and Kerry have been to chase her down. You know, he's reported the theft of over €1,000 worth of furniture. You know, it's small stuff, but, you know, it all builds up. Like, she got a... When she was convicted in 2019, she got conviction for doing the fake psychological assessment. There was four other charges of cumulatively about €800 in thefts that were taken into consideration. She got a 14-week and 2-day suspended sentence at that stage. It wasn't reported at the time. So,
on how many false reports? One.
One conviction and one. Then four theft charges taken into consideration.
Four theft charges taken into consideration. But that one false report was probably accepted because somebody went and complained.
Exactly,
there was no actual investigation going backwards to find out, did she do more?
Yeah, and even I know one of the victims who gave her over €100 for the Lapland thing, she wasn't even told that that's how her case was resolved. You know, so the guards have not kept the victims up to date on this, and that's a requirement under our victims' rights legislation, EU legislation. And even in this Selbridge case, when... Like how they found out was they were in their parent-teacher meeting on February 7th, the Thursday, and just after the meeting, their son got a glowing report. They're told, will you step in and see the principal? And they're like, okay, this is kind of strange. And the principal shows them a report from the Irish Independent. do you know this is your au pair? The woman, the girl at the school gate, they saw every day collecting and dropping off.
So somebody just copped, somebody saw her and was able to see that she was the girl in the picture of the stories that you had written.
So some, I was talking to Pastor Matt Riles, who was the pastor in the local, the Bridges Evangelical Church. She'd inveigled herself into this community after kind of a bit of a religion shopping. She'd also been at the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church, but settled on the Evangelical Church and had made a lot of friends there. But the pastor, who's American, didn't buy her American stories. Thought she said stuff like, you know, that's so LA, was something he'd never heard
right.
an American person say. But he believes it was someone in the church was listening to the Sue Perkins podcast and then Googled her and found the story and let the school know, and then the school let the parents know.
Yeah, because of course you do that. You want to see the what the person looks like when you're listening to this story, and then maybe they just realize that they knew her from I mean, that was lucky because
it was.
How long? And also, just to go back to that couple, I mean, the horror of having somebody living in your house for 6 months, to have been lied to for that long, for them to have taken advantage of you to mind your children, and everything must be going through your head.
Yeah.
You know, who is this person? What is this person's motivation? Why do they want to be near to my children? What have they done? I mean, you'd end up with mental health problems yourself if that happened to you.
The mother described it, like the blood drained from her face. You know, she was told, like when they realize, oh my God, Sadie Harris is this, you know, serial fraudster, Samantha Cooks, and she's at home with our son. So,
and has been living under their roof.
Living in there, eating their food, you know, for the last 6 months. Yeah, being, you know, she had this ensuite room, so she very much kept to herself, but, you know, had shared Christmas with the family, very much part of their family. Their son adored her. So they had a quick kind of meeting after, you know, thanking the principal for telling them about this, and decided they would play it cool that evening. They wanted to get the guards involved. So their plan was, she, you know, Sadie had a habit of going to bed early, that they'd go home, make sure their son was okay, not reveal anything, and then get the guards over on the Friday morning and confront her and see, make sure she hadn't, you know, got their passports or done anything. Identity theft was her big concern. So they went home, tried to use the poker faces that evening, read up on all the material they weren't aware of previously, all our stories or the other stories that are out there. And then the mother said she couldn't sleep, was up at 5 a.m. the next morning in the kitchen when Samantha Cooks walked in with a note saying, I'm about to go to Cork. And that's when she confronted her, said, we know who you are. Right. We know you're Samantha Cooks.
It's like something out of a horror movie.
Yeah. Okay. And look, her big, as you say, her biggest concern was like, did you do anything to my children? Did anything happen? And now Cook said, you know, absolutely not. You know, she said, well, what she said first of all was, that's not me, that's my sister. You know, this is something she's always
said, whenever she's
confronted, says, that's my sister, that's not me, you know, and she threatens legal action. The husband then was up and made her empty her luggage, make sure she wasn't taking anything, took her keys and her fob off her, confronted her again, and all she would say was, you know, that's not me, that's my sister. He took a picture of her on the way out, so we know what she looks like now. And that was it. 3 weeks later, and like they are happy now. They say like their son is heartbroken. They are happy that she didn't do anything untoward with the children. So that's, you know, she was only.
Well, their son is an age that he could probably tell them. It's not like their kids who have been have yet to speak or anything.
Exactly. You know? So like that's like whatever about, you know, being deceitful and lying. You know, there's no allegations in that regard.
And while it's probably no, you know, help to them, but usually these sort of con women or men, these fraudsters, whatever the personality type or disorder is, once confronted, once discovered, they tend to walk away and light a match behind them. They'll never go back. They will never kind of, it's not like the movies when, you know, all of a sudden they're peeking in the window again.
Yeah.
No, it's not. That's not part of the personality.
No, well, she did, like, similar to her MO and Kerry, she did, like, where she tried to shake down her landlord for, you know, getting an award from the RTB. She did, 2 weeks later, they got a letter, a personal letter from SH Sadie Harris saying, I consulted a solicitor and you've underpaid me under the Working Time Directive, domestic workers' rights, and trying to get €7,000 off them, €7,100. So this was the first time, like, here's the shakedown now. You know, they're she's trying to blackmail us, effectively threatening us with court action if we don't pay this. Like, this is the first time in 6 months she'd ever complained about.
So does she drive, this woman?
Never drove.
So she leaves their house at 5 a.m. or whatever time it is with her bag that has been gone through to make sure she's not stealing passports or whatever. She walks out their gate and goes where and does what?
Well, there was a postmark on the letter received 2 weeks later of Cork. I've heard reports that she might be in Cork or Waterford. So that region, I suppose, if people are on the lookout for an au pair, just to be mindful that, you know, there is a, you know, the serial fraudster who uses is quite devious in terms of the and quite creative in terms of creating these characters, personas, and very believable to keep an eye out for. You know, and look, she's clearly someone that has her own mental health problems. She's spoken about this in her initial conviction. So, you know, to keep going on this circuit of lies that she's doing and delving deeper and deeper, she clearly is someone that needs assistance. So, you know,
but she has an ability to reinvent herself, to settle in a community. Yeah. To build relationships and trust from people,
yeah.
Who I'm sure, I mean, the majority of people in who've had interactions with her would say they're usually quite good judges of character, because again, that's what these fraudsters seem to be.
Yeah,
they seem to be able
she very
to
much fool. Tailors herself. Like even when the family found out from neighbors and people in the evangelical church, which they're not members of, when they spoke to them, she was telling them different stories about who she was, that she was going to Dublin and ministering for sex workers, or that she was running their household and cooking and organizing their finances. Like, this is something they're like, what? This isn't true. So she very much is tailoring her story, even within that community,
right,
to different people and telling different stories.
Now, her actual background and the real background is that she is from England and she had a tragedy early in life when she was still in college. I think she had a child that died, and there was a coroner's court and it discovered that it was a sudden infant death. She went on to have another, certainly one child with another guy, and then when pregnant made her way to Ireland around 2013-14.
Yeah, after her conviction. Yeah.
Now, so of course that was in the aftermath of in the UK in about 2007, a baby called Peter Connolly, who was known as Baby P, a 17-month-old boy, and he had died following neglect and abuse that happened over a period of time. And there was all sorts of questions into the court system, the social services system, etc. And I think the UK courts became a bit more draconian than our own are when it came to taking children from parents.
Yeah,
and it all kind of tends to go back to the story, the tragic story of Baby P.
Yeah, definitely the UK social service would be more interventionist, definitely back 10 years ago or more, you know, in terms of taking children off biological parents. We've maybe changed a bit more because of, you know, the Children's Rights Amendment and so on, that our social services would do that, where, you know, a mother or father is deemed unfit, there would be kind of intervention by TUSLA here. But definitely around the turn of the last decade, we had a number of court cases where, you know, mothers would come over here to give birth or just after birth. And, you know, the social services in England would make applications here to get them returned or get the children returned. And the Irish courts would have been quite slow to intervene. And there was even MPs in England kind of directing people to come to Ireland.
There was certainly anecdotal evidence, a lot of it at the time as well, that there was kind of couples who might have been under investigation by social services in the UK who were just moving outright here so as they would remain under the radar. Now, we've no idea whether that was her motivation to come, but it was certainly around that time that that sort of story was in the ether. But nonetheless, she came here having had one child taken from her by the court system in the UK, and given custody of that child was given to the father. She came here and gave birth to the second child. Now, because of the laws around family law, etc., we don't know exactly what happened, but we do know that that child was also returned to the father. Yeah. And she remained here, basically.
Yeah, she's, as far as we can tell, she's remained here, like from South Dublin. We believe she does have some Irish family in the Midlands, Offaly region. And so she's been in South Dublin, North Wicklow, Cork, where she worked as this fake psychotherapist. You know, I spoke to a taxi driver who used to drive around to these appointments, you know, also trying to set up she's convinced people to give up jobs, you know, to work on this kind of Lapland visits. So she always had this obsession with kind of a child-centered business,
yes,
you know, which you can understand maybe is something of an obsession.
And again, you hear a lot of anecdotal stories about people who employ psychotherapists and people involved in counselling, and that there isn't a proper kind of umbrella body that is, you know, sort of, you know, you can work, I think, in this country in a lot of those kind of areas without proper qualifications, mm-hmm. you know, having done a course online, etc. Now, maybe again, that's changed since I was last sort of au fait with it. But she stays in this country and she goes from place to place. And we don't, I mean, probably what has been reported and what those who've come forward is the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, like there's a, I know there's a, several kind of social media groups where her victims have come together and very much share information. There's an upcoming RTE documentary, I know, that's going deep diving onto her background, which I'll be fascinated to see. I know even when I was out in Selbridge, one of the producers had been in the house
right.
the day before me looking, I think they shared her a diary she'd left behind. Like she left behind these reams of notepads full of like her writings. She'd got involved in kind of anti-trans turf activism, and another kind of new development for her. She had all these business plans for setting up a princess dress company where she'd go around to your house and tailor, you know, she bought a sewing kit. But she was setting out these projections where there'd be millions of euros invested and made and profits made in these. And you're like, you know,
what are you?
Fantastic.
Yeah, literally. So before that, when I spoke about that, she became pregnant to that first child that tragically died. What sort of a childhood and upbringing did she have? Do you know? Was it a stable home? Does she have family out there who?
Yeah, I have reached out to some of the Cooks family in England. Now, I haven't spoken to them. I know they have spoken to like an American podcast that got covered this. And she, a cousin of Samantha's spoke about her having a very normal childhood. You know,
so right.
I can only.
There's certainly nothing sort of, you know, out of the ordinary seems to have happened to her as a child. So this could be more of a personality disorder she has.
She, like, in her defense and mitigation in 2011 over the surrogacy case, you know, she spoke about her mental health challenges. And I suppose what's concerning now is this ongoing desire to get involved in childcare and work at people's homes. Like when the father in that case went to the Gardaí in Selbridge, they very little interest in taking a case. He had to kind of pester them almost until they take.
Why is it not a crime to pretend you're somebody else, move into someone's home and mind their children?
Well, what act? Yeah, what law does that breach?
I don't know. Yeah. Find one, surely, though.
Well, the guards didn't seem too keen.
Right.
And he had to kind of pester them to take a statement off him. And he handed in the three laptops she left behind. He handed in this pack of 18 spikes, self-defense spikes she left behind. Again, kind of bizarre thing that they found when they went into this room packed with, you know, charity shop clothes and books. Among the books, you know, a book on Bessborough, the mother and baby home. So it's almost like she's consuming this and generating her own stories. But yeah, this is it. Like the Gardaí are very reluctant to get involved here. The Gardaí and Kerry, I know, were very reluctant to. They've just higher priority stuff, I suppose, that they concern. But yeah, she's going around and like this is causing huge trauma. Like for that family in Selbridge, it has been a traumatic experience. You know, to have this woman deceived them, lived with them under false pretenses for so long, and
ever produce a document with the false name on it or anything like that?
Well, we saw evidence of that from Kerry. I definitely saw cards with
cards.
Kerry Jade Williams on ID cards.
Right,
Kerry Jade Williams. I saw a slimming world card with Sadie Harris left behind.
Right.
And I don't think it's an offence to do a false slimming club card.
But no.
You'd wonder what other ID she's using. Yeah, so like if the guards were more active on the trail.
Yes, and I'm sure her bank account has to be surely within her proper identity.
She was paid in cash. I think that's one of the things that she obviously saw as a benefit from that job.
So do you think, Mark, I mean, you're writing about her in the Sunday Independent. We're talking about her here today on Crime World. Your RTE are putting together a documentary on her. Is she reaching the end of the line here in Ireland? She's becoming more and more high profile, despite it being under these different identities. Her face, actually was looking at some of the images of her, she feels very chameleon-like. She seems as if she's able to really change her appearance. Even over the last few years, she can look like a completely different person. She puts on weight, loses weight, which can really make somebody look totally different.
Mm-hmm. It's worrying. I don't know. Like I was very surprised she stayed in Ireland after the whole expose in late 2022, 2023, and all the media that's followed. I was shocked when I got the call saying she's in Selbridge under the name Sadie Harris, which is a name from she's a small character on Grey's Anatomy.
Right.
You know, so she's borrowing all these, you know, bits of fantasy and including them in her lies, and her tails are becoming taller and taller. you know, she criticized that pastor for, you know, making a joke about Donald Trump. So you wonder, you know, is she going down a rabbit hole in social media in terms of, you know, the QAnon and Trump and all that? I think it's definitely beyond time for the Gardaí and Tusla or, you know, to come together, because this is like, you can understand if a family finds out they've employed someone falsely, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, tempers could fray very quickly, and we'd all be saying, why wasn't there an intervention before now? And even for her own safety, you know, like, you don't want to start a witch hunt against her. I think she's a very vulnerable person. I know the family in Selbridge, before they got that demand for €7,000, felt very sympathetic to her still, even though they'd been
tricked
and lied to repeatedly for 6 months. They felt a lot of sympathy for her and wanted to help her get care. So I think it's beyond time maybe for a kind of some sort of task force, whether it's HSE, Tusla and the Gardaí, to come and go, look, let's track her down and let's see what help we can give her and stop her lying and, you know, creating further frauds.
I mean, her alternative is she could already be on a boat or a plane to the UK and making her way on to anywhere else with the English speaking territories. I mean,
you'd kind of think that's what the guards want.
Yeah, possibly.
That she disappears, not their headache.
Becomes someone else's problem. But you often see these people have this just incredible ability to sort of land in the middle of a community. Like, most people who are maybe functioning normally find the change, the move, such a wrench.
Yeah, like, whereas, it must be huge, like, to even after she's only in Selbridge 6 months, to, like, she had a lot of good friends I know from the church who the family said they'd drive her home, sit in the car, talk to her for hours. You know, they showed me some of the Christmas cards she was sent. She was very warmly regarded by a lot of people, like, you know, and they're even from their 5-year-old son, you know, Christmas cards he'd sent her. You know, it must be a wrench for her to uproot again, create a new persona, you know, kill that mobile phone. You know, I rang her last Saturday. You know, I don't know if that phone number is still active.
Right.
How can she keep doing
all those things to keep going? But at the same time, she could be out there somewhere. If anybody knows where she is, Google her, have a look, see if we can sort of find where she is now, because she's gone dark now, and maybe that's not the best thing for anybody.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I since the weekend, I've heard from another family who almost hired her last summer. You know, so people had her going, oh my God, like, she said she had another job in Selbridge. That could have been us. Gosh. So I'd say she's working on a new persona and people need to be aware. But, you know, if you have concerns, there is an active Garda investigation into some of the complaints, so that could be your next port of call.
If they ring me, I'll pass it on to you.
Yes, thanks, Nicola.
Thanks for coming in, Mark.
Thanks, Nicola.
You've been listening to Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. Produced by Ian Mullaney and edited by me, Nicola Tallant. Research assistant is Claude Amini. If you like this show and love true crime, leave us a review. Or why not download the free SundayWorld.com app for lots more stories from Ireland and across the globe.
Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.